good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, also helping out behind the scenes, as always, Jenny James, along with Ryan Elliott. And Matt Trenton, we've got a good show on hand tonight. We'll be talking a little women's basketball with the head coach of the Bearcat women's team, Buck Schill, in just a little bit. Talk women's soccer with the new head coach there, Mark Gordon. And also, a treat tonight, a lot of people have been asking a lot of questions about what's going on with the indoor facility on the Northwest campus, the Hughes Fieldhouse. We've got the Northwest Vice President of Student Affairs, Greg Hansen, who's in charge of the Fieldhouse, and we'll be talking with Greg a little bit later during the program.
That's right, John. A lot of good new beginnings coming on. You look at the Northwest women's program finishing strong, winning 2 out of 3. You see Jalen Haggard win MIAA Freshman of the Year, and so you say new beginnings because that's a player really looked to flourish. Her first season comes to an end, but really big expectations for her and the rest of this team as they move forward on down the line. You think of Coach Gordon coming in, taking over this soccer program. All the success that he's had throughout his career coming in, you kind of expect him to be able to mold this program and take it to that next step, and really hope to see the Bearcats make an impact on that soccer postseason as the years go on. And also you mentioned, that new indoor facility that kind of raises everybody's level, not only just students, but recruiting and everybody playing a little bit better, especially those spring sports and those outdoor sports when it comes time to snow and rain and ice and everything else. And sitting, you have a place to actually go and, execute your craft. It'd be tough for the baseball and softball teams always having to be in the basement of Lampkin whenever it comes this time of year. They're not doing too bad so far this season, in spite of that, but really expecting bigger things to flourish for both of those programs and all the spring sports and outdoor sports as this indoor facility gets built.
We talk about Bearcat baseball coming off a good win this weekend, a 3-game sweep of a very good team in Emporia State. That was originally scheduled for Bearcat Field, but things worked out pretty well. They had to move it to Emporia due to weather, and Bearcats came through with some exciting baseball and coming up with 3 wins.
3 wins, all by just 1 run, a couple of them going into extra innings. That last one with Hudson Bildo, a transfer coming in, hitting a couple home runs, one in the 8th inning to tie it, send it into extras, and that's a go-ahead game-winning 2-run home run in the bottom of the 12th inning. So really exciting there for Northwest baseball. And you think about having Emporia State supposed to come to Maryville, picked to win the conference. They get 11 first-place votes when the preseason polls come out. And that's a team that you have to go to their field then. You play them there, and you take all 3. That says a lot for the Bearcats and kind of sends a message to the rest of this conference.
And hopefully they can build on that this weekend when they head to Kansas once again, out to Hayes, Kansas, to face 4 Hayes State in a 3-game series.
Yeah, just keep it on rolling, going out to Hayes, and hopefully get 2-3 more wins, find a way to win that series. And it seems like every time you go to Hayes, there are always a lot of home runs going out, especially this time of year, kind of send the ball up, and the wind just carries it. So hopefully Hudson and the rest of those guys can hit a few more long balls and keep this streak alive.
Busy weekend for us. Bearcat basketball tomorrow on the men's side as they open up playing the MIAA postseason tournament. They've got Pittsburgh State tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 5:40 with our pregame from Municipal Auditorium. But we also have a pretty exciting show to lead up to that from Kansas City.
Yeah, kind of kicking our all the festivities off a little bit earlier. Pregame starting at 5:40, like you mentioned. But then with the Northwest Alumni Association having their pregame parties at the Quaff in downtown Kansas City, throughout this MIAA tournament weekend, KXCV kind of jumping in there and teaming up with them. So at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon here on KXCV KRNW, we'll be down there with a special Northwest Missouri State basketball postseason show. Myself and Andy Peterson on the mics for that one. Also quite a few special guests, including Northwest President John Jasinski joining us, a couple former players that are M Club Hall of Famers, and Scott Fleming and Kelvin Parker jumping on there. So we see a lot of good guard play out of this Northwest team right now, but you got to remember back those teams that went to the Elite Eight a couple times had some pretty good guards themselves. So excited to talk to those guys, get their take on Northwest basketball, and take a trip down go to the glory days there of Northwest basketball, and should be a good start to the weekend.
That it should, and that'd be a pretty good ball game tomorrow night. Northwest facing a team that they've won pretty handily in the first 2 meetings, but it's a gorilla team when you look at their roster. They've got a lot of talent on that roster, probably haven't had the type of wins that roster would indicate they would have, but Northwest will have to play well tomorrow night.
Yeah, they will. And, you know, even the 14-point win for the Bearcats at home just a couple weeks ago against Pittsburgh State, that was one where they hung around. They put the press on. Justin Pitts not playing in that basketball game, so it kind of affected Northwest ball handlers, and they struggled a little bit, and Pittsburgh State was able to hang around before Northwest put that basketball game away late. But you imagine there will be some pressure ramped up when Justin Pitts isn't on the floor, and he's a guy that has battled a bit of a turf toe injury these past couple weeks. If he can get some rest throughout this week and leading into that game on Friday, if he can be feeling pretty good, 85-90%, you have to think that does a lot in Northwest's favor of going in there, finding a way to win this first tournament game and get some momentum there in Kansas City.
Reminder that support for the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Stuner Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stuner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll be joined by the head coach of the Bearcat women's basketball team, Buck Shield. That's coming up right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville. Their memory care program offers residents emotional and social support, art, music, pet therapies, and more. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing customers with sales, design, service, and installation of surveillance and security systems for homes and business, as well as paging and public address systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter Agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show here from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm Matt Tritt, now being joined by Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach Buck Shield. They wrapped up their season just last weekend, took 2 of 3 in their final last go, knocking off Missouri Southern here at home, taking out Lincoln on the road to sweep the Blue Tigers, and then a tough loss in between against the Lindenwood team that is still battling currently in the MIAA tournament. Coach, appreciate you hopping in. You've had a little bit of time. Has a chance to kind of digest it all, take a deep breath, or is it just hitting the recruiting trail like crazy?
Tonight will be my third or fourth night actually sleeping in my own bed in 2 weeks. So
that'll be a good night for you, man.
Decent amount of windshield time, a lot of time to think, and just sitting in the gym watching recruits and potential recruits and things like that. And so, you know, once the season wraps up, you really don't get a breather for the most part until school ends. So, you know, that's just part of the process, especially with the process we're in with needing to add a lot of new bodies going into this next year and whatnot. So we'll put our head down and go and do what we can.
Is it kind of a weird situation to be in? You want to be playing right now, and you want to be making a push through the MIAA tournament. But if you're going to come up a little bit short, at least you have a chance to see some good high school athletes playing in some crucial minutes and kind of see what they're made of right now and get to see them in person.
Yeah, you know, obviously you want to play as long as you can, and, you know, with all the ups and downs we had throughout the season and really starting to play well towards the end, towards, you know, that last month and a half, you know, you don't want it to end. And to get to that point where, you know, we end up losing that 12th spot in a tiebreaker, and then that spot going on to play Nebraska Kearney, who we took to double overtime and, you know, played really well that game, I thought, played well out there. And then that 12 seed goes and upsets that 5 seed. It's, you know, you always kind of wonder, like, what if that was us? But, you know, the chips fall where they may, and, you know, we let several games earlier in the conference schedule get away from us. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what cost us, because it came down to our tiebreaker with Central Oklahoma. And that was a game that we were in control of for about 35 minutes. So, you know, it is what it is. But then, you know, it just gives us the opportunity to get out on the road a little bit sooner to fill some holes that need to be filled, and then just go from there.
You can't play the what-if game, but you mentioned you had Nebraska Kearney on the ropes, and they're upset in the first round. Then you had Central Oklahoma down for much of that game before, a four-point loss there back in early December, late November. You're right there on the cusp of, if you get in, you have a chance to make your way into the MIAA semifinals. You can't play the what-if game.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you a picture of, we're trending in the right direction. If we just close some of these games out, we're right there.
Well, and that's just how this league is, you know, to be in those games with a group of with a team that, you know, essentially had, you know, at least seven newcomers to the team, and you've got you're starting two freshmen all year. You know, you've got a freshman usually coming in off the bench pretty early. And to be competitive with those programs that are established, with coaches that have had the time to, you know, establish themselves and establish their recruiting base and foundation, to be right there, to be close, I feel like it's a good sign. And, you know, I think our kids really showed a lot of fight towards the end of the season, towards that last month, when, you know, very easily we could have just thrown in the towel and been done. But I felt our kids really competed.
With the first half of the year, with some of the struggles there, obviously you have to see the freshmen mature and kind of get into the game a little bit more. There's a little bit to come too that, you know, your senior leader, Tanya Meyer, feels like she has to do kind of everything. Presses early on, but then as the freshmen come along, she gets a little more relaxed. You see that kind of take place in February?
A little bit, but, you know, for the most part, by the time you're a senior, you know, you should be ready for that mentally, physically. And, you know, that's the mindset that you have to have from the start of the season, that, you know, let's, you know, get on my shoulders and let's go. And we didn't have that all the time. And so a lot of times we, you know, we would go into games kind of uncertain with, you know, who was going to give us a big game and who we were going to get production out of. But then as the girls got older and as they got more experienced throughout the year and just got more comfortable playing with each other, you know, obviously the product on the floor was a lot better. And that was happening at a time where we're, you know, playing against those, you know, really good conference teams. You know, if we were to kind of, I guess, restart the schedule at this point right now, I think our non-conference record would be a lot different. But that's just, you know, that's part of it. That's part of young kids just getting older.
When you move into the 2018-2019 season, does Jalen Haggard look like a player that early on as a sophomore is going to be the one that throws it on her shoulders?
I think so. You know, I think the confidence that she has had since she got here, and I think the confidence that, you know, the rest of our young kids have picked up just in this in their freshman year is definitely going to be right there to carry over. And, you know, to have Jalen, you know, have such an impact in the league, to get you know, co-freshman of the year, and, you know, we basically finished tied for 12th, you know, shows the respect that she's earned, that the program is starting to earn as we go through this process.
She looked like a player when you watch her in high school that would show flashes of, she can come up and be an established MIAA player. Did you think that's going to happen early? Did you think she steps in to be an MIAA freshman of the year candidate?
You know, I knew when I recruited her and we signed her that, you know, she was going to be able to make an impact. I just didn't know when. And then kind of as the season started and even throughout preseason and official practice, you know, she didn't really carry herself like a freshman. you know, still kind of made those freshman mistakes and, you know, tried to get away with those things that you can do in high school, and they kind of catch up to you at the college level, which that's just part of the growing process and growing pains. But, you know, I knew it was in there, and I'm glad that it really came out with her this year to carry that momentum into next season.
Talking Northwest Missouri State basketball with head coach Buck Scheel. All these young players in this program right now, these freshmen that came from winning high school programs. They see right now what the men's team's doing as well, and the crowds that come out to these ball games. This is a group that's a really hungry young group, isn't it? They want to see that come out for them too.
You know, I think so, because you know you look at what Ben has done since he's been here, and you know a lot of that started with that group of freshmen that he brought in from Kearney High with Grant Kozad and
Dylan Starzl.
Yep. And Funk. Mm-hmm. You know that group of guys has what made that what Northwest basketball is right now through, you know, McCollum's era of coaching here. And so, you know, for us to have a group of freshmen this last year to, you know, really just be thrown into the fire. You know, I think with them it might have been a little bit different, where they weren't necessarily thrown into the fire as much as freshmen, but they were still pieces of it as their freshman year. And so, you know, I feel like they're going to be hungry. We haven't had our postseason meetings and things like that, but I think once we get those finished up, you know, I think everybody is going to be on the same page with the same goal, and knowing that it's going to be a tough road, and we're going to have to put our head down and go to work.
What do you need to see out of some upperclassmen, Mallory McAndrews, Keilani Mayaba, moving to next year?
You know, I think with them, they just need to get to be more vocal. You know, that's one of the biggest areas that we struggled with as a team, is that vocal leadership and that vocal accountability within practice and within games, and overall just the communication side of things. And, you know, especially for Mallory McAndrews, with, you know, with her being here for, you know, going into her senior year, being 4 years, and, you know, kind of seeing a little bit of everything, and being one of the more quiet persons on the team from the start even till now, you know, it's time for her to come out of her shell a little bit, and we need that to happen. And for Keilani, you know, I think the biggest thing with her is going to be, you know, figuring out and understanding, you know, how much effort it takes day in and day out to play hard, to play at the level that you have to play at to have success in this conference. And, you know, she showed flashes of it at times, but you don't have that continued success until that is constant. And that's one of the biggest things that we've pushed and we will continue to push for, is that constant effort in everything that we do.
Well, wrapping up the season, now you hit the reset button. Start over, looking forward to next fall and get things going again. Coach, appreciate your time.
Yep, thank you. I appreciate it.
That is Buck Scheel, Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach, as the Bearcats wrapped up their season last week, took two out of their last three, including a 75-65 win over Lincoln in the season finale. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the new Northwest Missouri State soccer coach, Mark Gordon, joining John Coffey right here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Heinlein provides furniture and flooring for every room in the house, as well as mattresses. More information is available at heinleinhomefurnishings.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Marcus Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and Liftmaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MaryvilleGlassandLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Well, time to turn our attention to women's soccer. We're joined by Mark Gordon, the head coach of the Northwest women's soccer team. And Mark, in your first year now, and they've gone through a little bit of time on campus and had a chance to bring in some recruits to campus already.
Yeah, so had an opportunity to work with the current players and kind of followed up on and some of the girls, the process in women's soccer as they continue to commit and make decisions a little bit earlier for various reasons. And so there were some players in place already. Had an opportunity to meet with all of them after the signing day, brought them on campus and just so we could get acquainted with each other and them with their new teammates.
And before we talk a little bit about what you're looking for in the next year and with the recruits as far as the new teammates coming in, talk a little bit about your background. I know you're coming from Ottawa University, the Braves there to come into the program here first off, and you had a lot of success at Ottawa. And just tell us a little bit about your time in Ottawa.
You know, it was an opportunity for me to get back into collegiate coaching. I was out for a number of years, had transitioned out of it 2002, just some family issues and felt like we needed to get back to Colorado. And in that process was just simply coaching club, had two small kids and was just going about normal life as a dad and a husband and was at work one day, and it was July, and my wife called me and says, "Hey, the Ottawa women's position is open," and so put my stuff in, and I had an opportunity to interview in 2010, and went out there kind of in a whirlwind just prior to season, and kind of just never looked back from there. Had a lot of success and support, and managed to bring in some pretty talented young women, and they bought into the system, and it was a really great run.
Now you talked about having a lot of success at Ottawa. Just tell us a little bit about that success. I know you had some pretty good national teams that played well there.
You know, we won various conference regular season and tournament games, and it just felt like we had gone to several of the first round matches and just could never break through, and then the 2016 team made it to the round of 16, lost in a shootout down there, and then this last year same thing, went in and played the previous year's national champion and lost in a pretty close game, a 2-1 match to Northwestern Ohio University.
Now, I know talking with you before, and I've had some experience in Ottawa as well. It's a little bit of time there growing up in summer times and things, and then I had a chance to work there a little bit. So I'm familiar with Ottawa itself, but really when you look at Ottawa and the community and Maryville, kind of similar type of communities.
They are. It's probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes closer to Kansas City to the south, the southwest, and they have about 12,000 residents living there. The community supports the smaller university as the Maryville community does with Northwest.
Obviously the biggest difference, Ottawa being an NAIA school,
yes,
and Northwest NCAA Division II. What are some of the biggest differences from that aspect of things as you bring in players and look at what Northwest will have to offer you?
You know, for me, the transition to go up to Division II was enticing. The fact that it was at Northwest and the tradition of winning in various sports and just the culture that exists here, and knowing some of the things and the recent successes with football and basketball and women's volleyball and tennis. And I mean, it's contagious. And so I wanted to be a part of that. And I felt like Division II gives that chance to compete at that level. The current national champion of women's soccer is in our conference. And so I know that I have my work cut out for me, but I also know that you know, the opportunity to be successful is possible here at Northwest.
Just talk a little bit about your coaching philosophy and what can people expect out of your teams.
I want my players to be able to step on the field and be creative, be unafraid to make errors within the game. I want us to be an attack style team. I want us to be able to keep the ball in possession, but with a purpose. I want us to go forward. I want it to be attractive where we're scoring goals. You know, a year ago, the team put in 21 goals, conceded 33. I'm hoping we can produce a few more goals and create a more open style for, you know, a little more fan base and for the players to enjoy and know that you know, we may expose ourselves early on as we try to figure it out from an attacking standpoint, but I will start on the defensive side of the ball. I'm passionate about knowing that we can defend as 11, and if you can defend, you can get the ball. If you cannot defend, it's hard to get possession of the ball. So the name of the game is goals, but if we can limit opponents and keep them out of our net, we're always in the game.
Now, you've had a chance to meet with the current players in the program, and what's the response that you've had from them, and what do you see out of this current group?
I'm very impressed with the buy-in up to this point. They're working very hard. We have so many great resources here. Our strength and conditioning staff has been wonderful, and then the staff that I had in coming in have been so supportive, and just them working for one another and buying into the energy that's coming through the strength and conditioning, and then some of the new exercises and things that we're doing and the approach to the game. Just the few times that we've been able to get out and work with the ball, you know, they're seeing that I'm more of us keeping the ball and the ability. I'm encouraging them to go forward with it. And that was something I think the very first day we were out, I was very impressed with, was their ability to pick up the ball and carry it and go towards goal. The other piece that I was very impressed was the transitional play, what the players do when they lose the ball. And we have a number of players that take that kind of personal, it appears, and work to get back. And to me, that is huge. Transitional play in soccer is enormous both ways, when what you do when you win the ball and when you lose the ball.
You talked about some of the work currently being on with the weight training and some of the off-season things. Really, it seems like all collegiate sports anymore, really it's a year-round commitment where even if the season's officially over, it's time to hit the training room and things and practice and where it's really something that the dedication level has to be there for the athlete anymore, it seems like.
Absolutely. I talk to the players about this. Is the process for me is a 12-month cycle, and part of that cycle is a rest period and recovery and managing the bodies and taking care of it. You know, it includes the nutritional piece. It's the necessary number of hours of sleep, the whole piece. So yeah, you've hit that right on the head. That's a cycle of 12 months.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of fans maybe realize how much work goes into it. If they go by Lampkin Activity Center early in the morning and see that weight room being put to use by athletes from every sport, it seems like.
It is a kind of poetry in motion. Joe Q and his staff and Dakota Steiner is our GA that's worked directly with the women's soccer team. They've been amazing, but just the response, the support of the athletes and encouragement, you know, that I've seen is part of that culture that has impressed me. and to know that, you know, one group is finishing up, the next one knows what the process is to start their warm-up, and that process begins with the athletes doing it. And again, that's that buy-in and the importance, and the culture I think starts down in the gray area for sure.
Well, it's March 1st already, and of course soccer being a fall sport, just take us through what you're expecting out of the team between now and when the first game comes around this fall.
Well, we're coming up to a spring break. We're going to have some opportunities to check our fitness level, and we're going to run some, I call them celebrations of fitness instead of a test.
it's all a matter of terminology.
Yes, yeah. Trying to give them, kids hear tests and they panic a little bit, and trying to encourage them to know that it's just a basis. I want to know where we're at. And then after their 10-day break, you know, we'll revisit that again and see kind of where they're at. That leads us into some continued work in the field. We've been doing a lot of possession right now. After a while, they're like, "Coach, can we do some activities where we're going to goal?" And so we've done that. It livens it up a little bit. We'll hit on the defensive side a few times, and then we'll have a number of spring games and opportunities for me to actually see them in a game setting against some different opponents. So we'll be at home, we'll be on the road a couple times, and right up until, you know, the week before finals, and we'll shut it down and have them take care of their business in the classroom.
All right. Now, you talked too about your background being a club sport or a club coach for a number of years as well. Just talk a little bit about how that helps out, maybe not only coaching now, but also perhaps on the recruiting side of things, with the context of things you might be able to make at the club level.
So, you know, as a club coach, it's a whole different world, different environment. You know, a lot of the student athletes that are in club are looking to pursue collegiate opportunities at a various level. Just some ties with different coaches in Kansas City. When I was club coaching prior to coming back into the game, I was actually in Colorado. But just understanding, you know, the motivation that a lot of the club coaches are trying to give the kids and give them the perspective of what college is going to be like. The big difference, I think, is that the training is every day, minus our required day off and matches, where club, you're training 2 to 3 times a week, and then you have weekend showcases and league games on the weekends, those kind of things. But just being able to tie into some of my colleagues, a lot of times in the Kansas City area, a number of the collegiate coaches will pick up a club opportunity as well for one of the local clubs down there. It kind of gets them tied in a little bit more to the community. I did that a little bit with one of the clubs in Kansas City for a while. So it just keeps you connected on a level with the soccer community, the coaching community, and kind of puts you out there and to give the community kind of a lay of the land of who you are as a coach When you go to recruit their kids, they have a little bit of understanding who you are.
It really seems like soccer is a growing sport, too, especially in the Kansas City area with a lot of things going on there. Omaha, seeing a lot of athletes come out of the Omaha area now, too. Are you seeing the level of athlete coming out, the youth clubs and things, the level of play a little bit enhanced now over maybe several years ago?
You know, I think being involved in it, I've probably identified that. I think maybe the rest of the soccer, non-soccer community is seeing more of that now as it becomes more popular in this area. I think another trending sport right now that's probably where soccer was, I don't know, 20 years ago, is lacrosse. It's kind of trickling in from the coasts, and soccer's at a level now that you know, it's very strong in the communities like Omaha and Lincoln, Kansas City, Des Moines. There's a lot of good clubs, and in all of those areas, they kind of reciprocate and will go to each other's tournaments, and teams from, let's say from Des Moines will go to Kansas City. There will be teams that come up from Texas and Oklahoma, and it's kind of a meeting point where if the Kansas City team's going to Des Moines, they'll have some teams from Chicago and those things come over as well. So it's definitely become more competitive, and there's more exposure for the players, for sure.
Now, we'll be talking with Greg Hansen in just a little bit about the Hughes Fieldhouse, the new indoor facility coming up on the Northwest campus. How excited are you to see that facility come up and some of the things that you'll be able to do to utilize that facility?
You know, I was talking to Greg a little bit about that earlier today. We've both kind of come in at the same time. That was kind of our onboarding, was where we met in January. And he told me what he was doing, and I just know that there's such a great demand and use that will be made for some of our spring sports through softball and track and field and baseball, and just being able to get in there, we're hoping to utilize it to do some identification camps, some ID camps, where we'll have on a weekend bring in players to do some evaluating and an opportunity to showcase our new facility and get to see them play. And then it definitely opens up opportunities to do different functional training when weather isn't permitting outside, if we're able to get in there. So we'll just have to get on the schedule and we'll see how it works out. But I anticipate having some opportunities to get in there. But even with the new facility going in, it opens up some of the older facilities too. That allows us, because there are things that we can do outside of the tactics of the game, that just having a small space and some room to work with the ball is very beneficial. So,
well, it sounds like you've hit the ground running as getting on campus in January, and it's probably been kind of a whirlwind right now for you, hasn't it?
It has. It's I keep using the phrase, it's like drinking water from a fire hose right now, but it's getting better, and each day that I get to go work with the team and work with my staff and just get to meet new people in different offices, and I'm continue to be wowed by the willingness and the resources that are here and everybody making the most of what is here to be successful.
All right, well, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us here on the program, and welcome to Maryville. I know we'll be talking to you from time to time throughout this show coming up next fall when things get really busy for you.
Yep, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to sit down and talk with the community.
All right, again, that is head women's soccer coach at Northwest Missouri State, Mark Gordon. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit about that indoor facility, the Hughes Fieldhouse, with a person in charge of that, and Greg Hansen. That's coming up right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware and custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through the ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And we've got some prizes to hand out. The people who have them are out and getting some more people signed up for some of our prizes. They're normally to our left here, and Ryan and Jenny. And we've got some winners already. Courtney Morgan, along with Kyle McKee and Sarah Cicero, are winners so far this evening on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. And we're now joined by the Vice President of Student Affairs at Northwest Missouri State, the Assistant Vice President, and Greg Hansen. I'll get your title right here, Vice President of Student Affairs here. Hard to see you as a Vice President after knowing you a few years ago, Greg.
Thank you, John.
Greg Hansen. Love that for an introduction.
It's great to be back.
I got to know you when you were a student.
Yes,
student
came down from Xira, Iowa, and started in the fall of 83, my undergraduate degree, and wrapped that up around 88, and did some coaching and teaching up at North Nottoway, and we were, had a pretty good eight-man state championship team there the second year, and did another year of graduate work, and then ventured down to Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau for 10 years and worked a lot in campus recreation and with their parks and rec facilities down there, and then moved back to the Kansas City area, and 14 years at the North Kansas City Community Center, opened up that facility, which was a great experience, and working a lot with Northwest Missouri. In the last 4 years, up in West Des Moines with the parks and rec, and started here on January 2nd, so it's great to be back.
And what, obviously the youth field house is something that obviously attracted you to come down, but what about this job that you see that this would be something that you'd be interested in?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, being here for almost nine years and looking at the opportunity, it's just, you know, just a tremendous time opportunity for me to give back to the university that they had provided me the skill sets and opportunities to move forward in my career. So working at a university, being in the parks and rec field, to come back and work with the university and the community and bring some of the, my experiences, what I think I can do. So it's really exciting to be back.
Moving around throughout your professional career, did you have in the back of your mind come back to Northwest Missouri State at some point?
I think it's always been on the back of my mind that, you know, it feels like home, feels like I've never left. Still seeing you, you, John, and some of the other people
John
around
you. John 20 years.
I just get better looking, I think.
So it's just great to be back, and, you know, the people are just great to work with here, and that was something I realized in, you know, my first part of my career, to come back and work with people. And just, you know, to work, come behind some incredible people that have done a tremendous amount of the heavy lifting to make this facility possible. I think we're over the hump now. As if you go by the facility, you can see that we're about 60% completion. The sides are coming up, the roof's coming along. We did have a good January, February, you know, Northwest Missouri winters, which were expected, that it was hard to be on the roof with the ice, the sleet, the snow, and stuff like that. So we're moving along.
As you look at this facility, what are some of the main things about this facility that stands out that might be maybe different from some of the other indoor facilities that some of the conference schools have right now?
Right. This past weekend, I was at the MIAA conference indoor track meet down at Pitt State and spent some time there talking to Jim Johnson, their athletic director, and some of their facility people and stuff. And recognizing that, you know, was pretty much athletic facilities. And kind of, John, I think what you're alluding to is that we're going to be very unique, that this is just not an athletic facility. It's for the students, more importantly, and equally as important will be how the community is involved in their program and services to fill, you know, time and space there. I've talked a little bit with the Maryville Parks and Rec, Aaron and Shelley out there, and bringing in, you know, the availability to walk in the facility. Programs starting as indoor soccer, you know, when that facility is maybe sitting idle from athletics, student activities, big events, that we have activities going on in the building.
You know, I think that a lot of people look at what Northwest Missouri State Athletics have done, especially in the football field over the years, and it's so impressive because throughout Division II, it's been cropping up for 10, 15 years that everyone else is getting indoor facilities. Northwest hasn't for so long. The sustained success has been there. From what you see from elsewhere, I mean, how do you think this helps recruiting, enrollment, and so on around Maryville as well once this gets up and it's fully functioning?
I think with all the, you know, success in athletics has had, I think it brings the recruitment, the retention of our students. It helps the community. It's going to put us at a level above everybody else. As you look around, we're one of three Division II schools in the country, with Pitt State and Grand Valley having similar facilities. So we're right up there. I think also the availability that opportunities through our athletics, our student success, prepares them to go out into the workforce. So they have great facilities to train in, work with, do activities. Also, the students that will be working in campus recreation and administration of this facility, which will take a lot, that's a great opportunity for them also to be successful in their career path. So it's a tremendous facility. It's very special. It's a great opportunity. I feel privileged to be the person that, you know, is instrumental in getting this thing going.
Obviously, Northwest isn't the first to have an indoor facility at the Division II level, but I would think there's some advantages to that from the standpoint that you can take a look at some of the other facilities that have been built and maybe see where they went wrong, where they went right, and be able to build a more complete facility because of that.
And I think, you know, just spending a weekend down at Pitt State and some of the, you know, Andy Peterson and some of the other people that traveled around the country looking at these facilities, you know, I can talk to some very specifics of learning that they didn't have hose bibs at Pitt State next to their sand or their long jump and triple jump pits, so we wanted to make sure we got that. The surface that the bleachers will sit on, asphalt to concrete compared to that. So, and then really what these facilities offer that maybe, as you said, John, they were missing, satellite athletic training facility, so when athletics is in there, so they will not have to go back to Lampkin, because we heard some of that distances from the fields. And then the flexibility we have in our locker room space, so if we are having a indoor, and I'm just grabbing events here, that an indoor, it's a women's all indoor track meet, we can make both locker rooms appropriate to the women, so we have that flexibility to be very flexible in what we can do in those in the space.
What I think is kind of crazy is it's a multi-purpose facility in just how many different things are going to be going on, whether it's going to be some sort of business seminar, business summit one day,
yes,
a track meet the next. I mean, the locker rooms that you mentioned can kind of break down for one or the other. The planning and time it takes going into that, how long is this? I know the indoor has been talked about, but the detail, minutia of getting everything just right. I mean, how long does this whole process take?
Started January 2nd, so coming right out of the gates was to spend time with each individual program, coach, or department that's involved. Another thing, you know, just spending time with Dr. Katie Strickland, our Bearcat Marching Band. So they'll also be in there. Today I had a meeting with Greg McDaniel, the city manager, and talked about the new development of the tourism committee, which will be coming online, which I serve on that committee. So just spending time with each individual organization, group, coach, student, was at Student Senate, you know, talking about activities to really understand their needs to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And being here just over 2 months, it's safe to say it's going to work. And as Northwest Missouri and spending some time here, and as you guys know, it's a great community. The coaches all understand each individual's needs. They share space well. It's going to be really exciting. The coaches that are in Lampkin, they're like, yes, some of them will be moving over to the new space, so there won't be basketballs bouncing across the track. Track will actually have their space. We can get tennis in there. And what really happens is it allows the opportunity for the student athletes to get their practice times in so they can still have their study time at night, so baseball isn't coming in Lampkin 8:30 till 10:30, things like that. So overall, it provides a much better quality experience all around.
And not only for Northwest, but when you talk about the other entities that will be taking advantage of this facility, there's not going to be very much downtime at all from day to day on this. So it seems like there's going to be something in there about every day during the fall, winter, spring, most likely summer as well.
And that's exactly right, John. You might want to hear it, but yeah, it's my job to fill the thing. So, you know, when the students are on break over the holiday, you know, I'm just talking with people, you know, of having a indoor soccer tournament between Christmas and New Year's community. We know some of those things are happening in St. Joe or Kansas City that we can now bring those activities here to Maryville. And tourism dollars, you know, they'll be in our hotels, they'll be in the eateries like where we're at here tonight. So those down times is where we're looking for opportunities to still keep that facility available.
So we can have the first annual John Coffey kickball tournament coming up.
You bet. Let's do it. Yes. Excellent idea. I'll write that down.
Yeah.
Yes. Kickball tournament.
Yeah.
And that goes to say that's something that we could do in there. And I'm very serious that with the netting system that will protect the people from on the running track to the turf, that's a perfect example. We could do that and still have people walking on the track in a safe manner.
How late overall will somebody be able to come in if they want to be walking, taking runs, something like that on the track in the public, how late will that be open for them?
So right now, just preliminary, we're getting ready to, just as I said, I was meeting with the city of Maryville today with Greg. Kind of the rough schedules looking at in the morning hours would be the opportunity that people could come in and walk on the track. Starting 1:30 around that time is when we know athletics will be picking up because that's their practice time, to around 6:30, maybe 7 around there. At that time, athletics will pretty much be done. And then we will kick into the student recreation center, or the campus recreation, student activities, and then the community, 6:30, 7:30 at night. So we've already talked about intramural flag football, 9:10 at night. It's indoor, lights, and it's never been offered here. So we've even talked about extending that into regional tournaments with the University of Nebraska, KU coming up, MU, to bring some of those, you know, activities for students that we've never had the opportunity here to host.
Again, we're talking with the Northwest Vice President for Student Affairs, Greg Hansen, about the Hughes Fieldhouse. We'll come back and talk about some fun facts that Greg has come up with concerning the Fieldhouse. That's coming up right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from your local family-owned Orsland Farm and Home, with more than 30 stores throughout the region. Orsland provides customers with the tools and materials necessary for jobs on the farm, in the garage, or at home. More information at OrsalandFarmHome.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And we're back at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We'll continue talking with Vice President of Student Affairs of Northwest Missouri State, Greg Hansen, about the Hughes Fieldhouse. But before we talk to Greg, Matt, we got some more winners we need to announce.
Yeah, some giveaways here from the student body here in Maryville. Our winners right now, Kim Nelson, Charles Edwards, and Ty Miller. If you want to come down and see Ryan and Jenny down to our left, we have some gifts from the student body for you.
All right, and Greg, I know you've got a little sheet there that have some interesting facts about the Hughes Fieldhouse that perhaps a lot of people haven't thought about.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, as you walk by or drive by it, and you're like, man, that is a really big building. So just kind of, you know, some fun facts here. If you were to park a lot of cars, you know, in there, bumper to bumper, we could put 573 cars, you know, bumper to bumper inside that. So
573
cars.
That's like John Coffey's garage. You've got a lot of nice cars.
I know where to go now if we have a hailstorm, right?
Kind of another interesting point. It looks really long. If you were to tip the, you know, the Hughes Fieldhouse, you know, on its side and put it vertical, it'd be 444 feet tall. So that's about approximately 41 stories, which would be about the sixth tallest building in St. Louis, give or take. But another fun fact about that is we would be able to put the Statue of Liberty, including its pedestal, inside. So we could either, the building way it's situated now, we could just lay her down and put her to bed and slide her in, or we could tip the building up and put her inside. This is probably one of the most interesting. As an Iowa farm boy, I look at that and it's like, man, we could really get a lot of corn in that building. So just kind of putting some fun, you know, fun facts together there is that'd almost be 1,070 railroad cars full of grain, or a train about 13 miles long. With grain cars. So
that's unbelievable. You know it's huge as you drive by and kind of look, but you you don't kind of think that it's quite that big.
Yeah, it is. Once you get in there for the first time and walk around the track, get out on the turf, you're gonna like, this is a big space. And what's really neat is how it fits in with campus. The lot, the tailgate lot up where the tailgating and the baseball field is, that'll be the main area coming in off that lot. So you'll come in on the mezzanine area, and you'll come in into an incredible view where you will look down on the activity space. So it's kind of nestled down a little bit, so it's not so large and intimidating that it stands out on campus. It really fits in nicely with the facilities up there.
Whenever you look at where the band used to practice in that parking lot right off 4th Street, there, is any parking gone from there? Is that whole parking lot still available as well?
That parking lot remains. Dr. Strickland will have that for practice. In a meeting with her, you know, we had a really good conversation about, you know, if it's hot and we know the football team probably will still want to be, you know, outside conditions and conditioning, but there comes a point in time with some of the band members and stuff like that and their instruments, it gets really hot.
Yeah.
They'll just be able to go from the parking lot you're talking about, which will remain just a few short feet away, and walk in those doors on the south side and then be able to practice in there. Another concern she talked about is we do have severe weather come up. They would have to go way back to Lampkin, and now they have a safe place they'll be able to get into. So also it's a win-win there.
We had Scott Lorick on last week. I know he's real excited about what this was going to mean for the track and field program just overall, but you're talking with you a moment ago too. You've already got some track meet scheduled.
Yeah,
for
so we're ready to go. So these, you know, what I'm going to talk about, this is just an example of bringing new tourism dollars to the community for the restaurants, people staying in our hotel and stuff. And actually, we'll start off December 7th and 8th. That'll be the Mel Churchman Classic, which will be an open meet. January 18th and 19th will be the Northwest Open. Those two events are, as I mentioned, open events, so there could be anywhere between 800 to 1,000 different athletes participating over those 2 days. The next meet will be February 8th and 9th will be the Bearcat Invitational. So coach is looking at bringing in 14 to 16 teams. So, and what's really unique about that is we will have teams, we'll have some you recognize, Emporia State, Nebraska, Kearney, but we'll have North Carolina, Queens University out of North Carolina, Harding out of Arkansas, and coach is working with Angelo State and Azus Pacific out of California and Academy of Art along with Western State out of Colorado. And then kind of end up with the big meet that was just this past weekend in Pitt State is we will be hosting the MIAA conference, which is a 3-day event, February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. So mark your calendars for that big meet.
Whenever you're down in Pittsburgh and talking with the folks there at the athletic department, seeing how they run their track meet, is it a bit overwhelming at first, kind of walking in, seeing all the moving parts and things you have to be ready for?
It was. It was really overwhelming. And talking to Coach Warwick that day and, you know, visiting with Andy Peterson that day down there. And then once you start thinking about the success that's happened here at Northwest with the football, the basketball championship games that have been held, they're fully capable of hosting these events. I think what's really interesting is, and there was a meeting last night, and just to throw that little plug out, that we are starting a Northwest Officials Track Club. So if anybody's interested, they can contact Coach Lorick or myself. Because, as you say, the infield events of all the infield, the high jump, the pole vault, the long jump, the triple jump, the throwing events take each individual specific people to run and stuff. So we're starting an officials club to run that support and run those events. So, but yes, it's overwhelming at time to say, do we have enough barricades? How many trash cans are we going to need? Signage of everybody going here and there and stuff like that, of working with Aramark on our concessions and things like that. But as I mentioned before, it's nothing new to Northwest to have big events. They're out for it, and we'll be very successful.
All right. Well, Greg, it's good to have you back on campus, and I know we'll be talking to you from time to time as things get closer to being opened up over there.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for doing this, and thanks to Carson's for hosting us.
All right. Again, that's Greg Hansen, Northwest Vice President of Student Affairs on the Northwest Missouri State Campus. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we wrap things up for this week's program, we have one more winner to announce here, as Alex Rice is the recipient of one of our prizes from the student body. So Alex Rice is a winner here this afternoon and evening on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Matt Trenton, big day coming up tomorrow.
Should be a fun one. Northwest Missouri State take on Pittsburgh State there in the quarterfinal round of the MIAA tournament from Municipal Auditorium. 6 o'clock tip-off. Of course, you and Matt Gorder with pregame at 5:40. But even before that on KXCV, we'll have a Northwest Missouri State basketball postseason special. Myself and Andy Peterson chatting with Dr. Jasinski, Scott Fleming, Kelvin Parker, a couple of M-Club Hall of Famers there in Kansas City, as well as some other alumni. That'll be at the Quaff in downtown Kansas City. Folks are going to be around. So should be a really fun weekend. Hoping Northwest get things started, get a W over Pittsburgh State, and just keep rolling.
All right. Sounds good. That'll do it for our show tonight from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. For Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey. Also, our thanks to Jenny James and Ryan Elliott for their help this evening as well. We'll be back next week for another show from Carson's on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.